This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. As the year winds down and we start to look ahead to 2017, it's time to step back and take a look at the big picture. I mean, really big, like given enough time one day, the constellation we know as the Big Dipper might look more like a big spatula. Or if you want something else to make your mind twist a little, what might a day look like in a star system with 6 or 7 suns? Think about that. Those are just a few of the ideas offered up by my next guest, no stranger to this program, Dean Regas, outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory, co-host of the PBS program Stargazers, and author of a really cool new book, Facts from Space, recently out from Adams Media. Welcome back, Dean.
Oh, thanks for having me, Ira.
We're on tap to eventually have a big spatula constellation.
Oh, yeah.
What's going to happen there?
That's kind of one of those funny things is that, the stars are moving relative to our position here. And so, over thousands and thousands of years, the constellations we see today will actually change a little bit. But we're talking big amounts of time, 75,000 years for us to notice some big difference. So our ancient, our distant ancestors will be able to look up at the stars where we saw the Big Dipper. They'll see something that looks like a big spatula, and who knows what kind of mythology will spring from that.
Yeah, because when we look at the Big Dipper, at the stars, we think they're all together. They all look like they're together in the sky, but they're really spaced far apart, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're quite different distances. And so when we look at that, when we look at Orion, all of the stars in Orion are different distances from us. So we actually can tell their distances and see what they would look like from different perspectives. So if we went around on the side, Orion wouldn't look like Orion at all. And it's just from where we are, we're positioned in space, that's what we see.
You've got a ton of great facts in this book, and the subtitle is Extraterrestrial Facts to Blow Your Mind.
Yes.
How did you collect them all over the years? Did you actually take notes every time something popped up?
Well, I've been teaching astronomy for a long time, for about 18, 19 years. And so I do these programs about, I try to popularize the subject. I talk about Mars, I talk about the moon, and I give facts, and I can actually see what audiences react to, that they really like certain ones. And so I've taken some mental notes over the years, and then this book came about. I put them down on paper and ended up with 500 facts pretty quickly, and then the publisher said, well, that's a good start. We need 1,000. So then I had to get 500 more of the greatest hits that I could find.
You have a rundown of smuggled items on board rockets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we think of the astronauts as these heroic people that they did these great things and risked their lives, and that's all true. But man, they could have some fun too. And so some of the astronauts smuggled, one astronaut smuggled a sandwich on board, which they just started, they started eating, while they're talking to NASA, and they said, put that sandwich away. On a Russian mission, that the wife of one of the astronauts smuggled a box of chocolates on board. They open up the box of chocolates when they're up in space. Chocolates fly everywhere in the weightlessness of space. And the report said it took them 2 hours to collect them. I think eat them more likely would be the right answer.
And you make a special project out of taking a tour of the solar system. Let's go through a few of those special places, like Mercury.
Oh, yeah. So Mercury, the big surprise, I mean, this is the planet closest to the sun, number one. Its surface temperature is 600, 700, 800 degrees. And we find actually there's water ice on Mercury in the North Pole, which is, man, that was a surprise when we found that. And then if you're on Mercury in certain places, you could watch the sun rise, and then it'll stop, turn around, go backwards and set where it rose, and then rise again. It's based on Mercury's very slow day and its very fast year. It's just a weird thing to see a sunrise, sunset, and sunrise right in the same place.
And Venus, there are 3 ways to die on Venus real quick?
Yeah, this is probably the worst planet for humans. I mean, we don't want to go there. What we found from our robotic spacecrafts was, number one, there's the heat. Venus is 900 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface, like everywhere. North Pole, South Pole, equator, daytime, nighttime, it's 900 degrees. Why it's so hot is because there's these clouds, this dense atmosphere that traps in the heat, and that atmosphere would actually exert such force on you, it'd squish you flat. The air pressure on Venus would squish you like a tin can. And then the third part where you could die is if the clouds open up and it starts raining. It doesn't rain H2O, it rains sulfuric acid. So you would be a melted, squished, acidy pile of goop on Venus.
You know, you spent some time with Pluto. Do you take any political position about?
Oh boy, here comes the controversial part. yes, I do take a very strong position on Pluto. I am a Pluto is not a planet, and I'm very definitive about that. This is something that, I had to come to this a hard way, because I was always a Pluto defender. When I grew up, Pluto was a planet. I loved Pluto as my favorite planet because it was so weird and odd and small. And well, then we found out in the 90s and 2000s that it's not alone out there. And we found now over 1,000 objects out where Pluto lives. And so that these other objects resemble Pluto a lot more than Pluto resembles, let's say, Neptune. I still was thinking, okay, Pluto should still be a planet. But then I have to think, well, what are you going to do with the other 1,000 things? You're going to call those planets too? And I thought, you know, I'm an educator, so how am I going to teach the kindergartners the 1,008 planets? This is going to be tough. but there's actually a precedent for this, that planets have been kicked out of the Planet Club. Asteroids used to be planets, and they got kicked out. So I got the historic perspective, and then talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson and Mike Brown, the discoverer of other objects out there, they talked me into it. So I'm now a Pluto is not a planet person.
So the New Horizon discoveries with making Pluto come to life with all the magnificent photos, that doesn't change your mind about how could this
not
be a planet?
My mind. Yeah. I call it a unbelievably magnificent world, that's for sure. Not a planet, but a magnificent world. And there's so many of these out there. There's Eris that we need to discover, we need to explore. There's a Sedna, there's Maki Maki, Haumea. And then there's all these moons that are out there too, the moons of Jupiter, the moons of Saturn that are worlds of their own too. So I put Pluto in the category of a unbelievably cool world. I'm so glad we went to see it. And we sent the spacecraft out the year before Pluto got demoted, which, whew, good timing. It got out while Pluto was a planet.
Let's talk about the future. Now, I know, because I'm planning to see this one. There's a really major total solar eclipse coming up in 2017, isn't there?
Oh, this is good. I'm calling it the big one. We've been waiting for a total solar eclipse in the U.S. for a long time. And this is going to be on August 21st, 2017. Definitely mark your calendars because on that day, the sun will be covered over by the moon completely, covered over for a few minutes. And it is the most amazing sight you will ever see. I've seen a lot of astronomical events, but a total solar eclipse is like nothing you can ever see. And it's going to be visible from Oregon out to South Carolina on this little strip of about 100-mile wide strip of land. So you have to be in the right place at the right time to see it. And if you live close by, drive to that spot, because it should be magnificent.
Of course, you want to try to find a spot where it may not be cloudy. The chances of cloudiness are lower than other places, right?
Exactly. So there's a few hot spots that astronomers are looking at. I mean, number one, the place where there'd be the least likelihood of clouds would be in Wyoming. And so there's a lot of folks that are going out to Cody, Wyoming, and that environs out there. And then the place where you can get the maximum amount of eclipse, where you can see the maximum amount of time that the sun's blocked out, that's going to be in a strip between Illinois and Kentucky. And so a lot of people are going to those two regions. For me, I'm kind of not sticking on one place. I'm going to go wherever it's clear. So I'm going to be mobile. I'll be in my car with my telescopes and my cameras and my eclipse glasses and hitting the road and going wherever it takes me. So I could be anywhere between Kentucky and Wyoming. That's my plan.
Do you think there's going to be a stampede of people that maybe you make reservations now in advance to...
Well, we've heard from the people wanting to go to Kentucky and view it from there, and I have heard that the hotel prices are, most of them are sold out. All the hotels are sold out, but ones that have availability are $899 a night. Minimum stay of 3 nights. if you haven't booked your hotel yet, I recommend getting your tent and just camp out.
I think the correct word for that would be astronomical.
Oh, my gosh. Discussion. Yeah, I mean, you go to a Days Inn and it's $899 a night. That's, and
yeah,
people
but you
are
don't
paying
have
it.
To. Well, all you have to do is being in a parking lot, though, right? You don't have to be in a hotel. It's going to last a few moments, and you happen to just be driving. You could pull off the side of the road.
Exactly. That's what's going to be interesting is what's this going to look like on the highways and interstates as this happens and goes across I-80 or something like that. But all you have to do is just stop and look. And this is, you know, I can hear Grandma Regas talking to me and say, Dean, don't look at the sun. Don't look at the sun. But this is the one time you can actually look at the sun when it's totally blocked out by the moon. And it is just incredible. I mean, it's one of those moments that even just thinking about when I saw the last one, when I saw one in 10 years ago, it's just given me chills thinking about it. It is really an awesome sight. So have you decided where you're going?
Yeah, I'm going to go out. I'll be out in Wyoming. So
Wyoming. All right.
Yeah,
great.
I'm giving a talk at a lecture of a bunch of astronomers out in Wyoming here.
Excellent. So, That's great. Well,
yeah, so my whole family, I'm getting the whole family out to come with me. My daughter was crazy about seeing this 3 years ago. She said, Dad, we got to go. I said, okay, now we're going.
That's awesome. Yeah, it should be real good for, you know, get families involved and friends involved. And this is something you shouldn't miss because, you know, in Cincinnati, we're going to be at 90% blocked, 90% eclipse. And people are saying, well, we'll just stay in Cincinnati and watch the 90%. I said, no. 90% is like 10% of the experience. You got to see the total thing. So the big event is the August 21st.
All right. Don't tell anybody. We need some hotel rooms still available.
Oh, right. Yeah, you haven't booked your hotel yet. Okay. Yeah, don't go to Wyoming, people. go to Kentucky. There's still plenty of space.
Not to mention the rental cars. We won't mention that. Dean Regas is outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory, co-host of the PBS program Stargazers, and author of the new book, Facts from Space. It's really a fun book. It's subtitled From Super Secret Spacecraft to Volcanoes in Outer Space, Extraterrestrial Facts to Blow Your Mind. Dean, thanks again.
Oh, my pleasure. And keep looking up, Ira.
Happy holidays. Coming up, we're going to talk movie science, including a new Disney animation you'll get swept up in.